I'm excited about our series, Summer of Great Prayers. And as we all know, prayer, you know, it sounds like a really technical word, is really simply talking. It's communication. And communication develops our relationship with people, and it also develops our relationship with God. However, not many of us have been taught about two-way prayer communication with God. God, and actually Christianity, can be very boring, actually. Even lifeless if communication is only one way. One-way communication is where I do all the talking to God, and I don't listen. And that's not what God actually intended. Two-way communication is what makes a relationship healthy and vibrant. And yet, so many of us have never heard the voice of God or heard Him nudging us or speaking to us. And so if we're going to develop an intimate relationship with God, we're going to learn how to listen to God. Now that brings up a really interesting question, because some people wrestle with this. Does God really speak today? I mean, we know, you know, He spoke in the past, but does He really speak today? And if he does, how do we hear God's voice so that we know it's God's voice and not, you know, what we ate the night before? This morning we're going to focus on how we as Christ's disciples learn to have a deeper relationship with God through listening to Him. And Jesus modeled that for us, you know, as we're told, Jesus said, "Follow me," and so we as His disciples want to follow Him. One of the things we know about Jesus is He talked to God and He heard from God. And so my question is, would you like God to speak to you? Would you like God, the God of the universe, to speak to you? Maybe this morning some of you came here with real questions about your future. Maybe some of you came here and went, "Oh man, church again, and that Steve guy, he's speaking again. He didn't do so well last week, so they're giving him another try." If you desire to hear from God, God will speak to you. I'm confident of this. So we're going to learn together how to listen to a God who speaks. So if you have your Bible with me, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to look at that. Some of you are going to your electronic equipment. That's great. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this is how it starts. Meanwhile, I guess something has happened before. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare. And visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you." "Go back to bed," Eli said, and so he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up, went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned them that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." Wow. Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up, opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It's the Lord's will, Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and give messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. Wow, so what can we learn from this passage about hearing from God? There's much we can learn. God speaks at his pleasure. And in verse 1 we read, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli." And in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. As we read this passage, can you see the transition from darkness and despair? I mean, the light had almost gone out. Eli's physical sight was almost gone. There's silence. And in the end, there is speech. God, as the text says, gave many messages as he appeared to Samuel at Shiloh. It's a very interesting trajectory of this passage. The term "meanwhile" in the New Living Translation, which I read to you in the beginning of this morning's text, exists to contrast the spiritually progressive life of Samuel versus the two sons of Eli, who himself was a priest, and he had two sons who were also priests. However, they were wicked priests using their position to take advantage of others. They may have had the title of priests, but their thoughts and intentions were revealed in their actions. Eli knew the sinfulness of his sons because a man had already come to Eli, as we read in chapter 2, and said to Eli, "I have a message for you from the Lord." And Eli himself, as we read in that text, knew that his sons were up to no good. They were taking advantage of their title. And so here we see how his sons were. The other thing that we realize as we read 1 Samuel is the book that comes before 1 Samuel is called Judges. And a common refrain in that book, talking about the history of Israel, is this: "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." That was the epitaph of that era. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. You see, they had heard about God before, but as often happens in culture, no different than our own, people stray away. And in our culture we see, and it's very hard to argue about morality with people when they're the center of the morality. When the whole point of it is, well, it's what I feel, it's what I think. When we as believers talk about morality, hopefully we're talking it from a perspective of, well, this is what God has said. This is what God wants. But that's very hard to convince somebody who goes, well, I don't really care about that. What I really care about is what I think and what I feel. And that, my friends, is the world in which we live. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. people of that time were not seeking after God. And, you know, as I read that, it reminded me of that passage in the New Testament about the people of Nazareth, right? You remember that Jesus went to Nazareth? This was a town he grew up in. And the scripture tells us that he departed after only doing a few miracles because of the people's unbelief. That reminds me of our time. We rarely hear God speak today. We have lots of people pronouncing that it's God. I mean, turn to some of the insane Christian television that's out there, and you hear people say all kinds of zany things. And you go, what? This is a mockery. Just the same way the mockery of Eli's two sons. They were mocking God. So friends, what about us? Is there a desire in our minds and hearts to pursue God, to love, and to obey Him? Is the desire there in the midst of a culture like that? Samuel had that desire. The chapter indicates that while Eli seems far from God, God does not come to speak to Eli the priest, the person with the title. And certainly, he didn't hear God speaking. And it's interesting that he's losing his physical sight. We're wondering if he has lost sight of God. What about you today? Where's God? Is he there? Is he far away? Is he quiet? In contrast, Samuel hears the voice three times. And the thing we know about Samuel, and as the chapter ends, is that Samuel is on this progressive journey into the heart of God. And as the chapter ends, it says that the voice of God has returned. It's a very progressive tone. We've gone from silence to speech. And from a light, a candle was lit in the temple. The light, it said, had almost gone out. But now, hope is returning. There's delight. And the people see God is speaking again. And they can see it in Samuel. And not only is he speaking again, but whatever Samuel is saying is coming to pass. God's voice is testable. It is verifiable. And God's voice brought joy and life to the people. Wondering, are you looking to hear the voice of God? Do you need joy in your life? Now, you and I can get joy from all kinds of things. You know, we can listen to great music, that can put us in the mood, and we say, oh, I feel so good, you know, and we like to listen to music. Well, certainly I do, from like the 70s and 80s. I won't tell you what I was listening to as I was driving here, but I was really enjoying it. I was singing out loud, and, you know, that's great and makes me reminisce and makes me think, you know, maybe once I really was in a band. I don't know. But there's that kind of joy. There's a joy of seeing a great play. There's a joy of, you know, learning. There's a joy of, you know, doing the bucket list. And all these things are really, really good. But, you know, they fade. They fade. Then we're on to the next thing. I want you to know about a joy that lasts. There's something about hearing the voice of God that's like nothing else. So how would you describe your relationship with God? Are you covering up known sin? Like these two sons who are priests? Are you hearing from God? God speaks. God speaks to those who seek Him. What we read in verse 2 was, Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. The ark was this box that was carried around, and it represented the presence of God. And Samuel, this boy, was sleeping near it. He wanted the presence of God. And in the previous chapter, chapter 2, in verse 18, it says this, but Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He served the Lord. And verse 22 of chapter 2, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. In verse 26, the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with the people. People started to recognize there's something different about that boy. Now, he was just a young lad, but they knew there's something different about him Not so much about the people who are older and have titles. You may be a young person here this morning. You may be 7, you may be 8, you may be younger, you may be a teenager. Let me tell you, God wants to speak to you. You don't have to be old. You don't have to know tons in the Bible. God wants to speak to you. This is what we read elsewhere in Scripture. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Psalm 25, I love this, verse 14. "The Lord confides in those who fear Him." In other words, you know, those who, "Lord, you're awesome. You're amazing. I can't even describe you. You're so wonderful." It says the Lord confides in people like that. Imagine the God of the universe confides, whispers, talks, sends electronic messages, if you like, to them in terms of dreams and visions. And Proverbs 3:32, "He is intimate with the godly." Wow. He's very intimate with Samuel. He told Samuel all this history. See, God initiates, but we can improve our reception by being near God. God initiates, but we can improve our reception by being near God. I remember the first time I heard the voice of the Lord, and it definitely was God initiating. I was, you know, raised in a Sikh home. I had begun to read. I had been reading a book which had been given to me by a non-Christian tenant. It was actually, he didn't like give it to me in terms of evangelism. He was trying to get rid of a whole bunch of books. That's the one God, of all the books in the room, that's the one that God got me to grab. As I left with one book, threw it on my dresser and just left it there until spring break of high school. And then I picked it up and read it. It challenged a lot of my assumptions, this book about the life of Jesus, about, you know, what I had been taught, because up to then, all roads lead to God. And as I read the Bible, I realized God was as I read this book, I got this idea that God was very intimate. And I remember being there. I was 14 going on to 15. And I remember saying, "God, if you're there, I want to know what the truth is. What's the truth? I mean, that person's got their truth. That person's got their truth. That religion says this. That religion says that." And I said to God, "God, I want to know what the truth is." To be honest with you, I really wasn't expecting an answer. I just didn't know what else to do. And then, I kid you not, behind me I felt a presence. I got tingles on my arms. And I heard this voice. And this is what the voice said. "Read the Bible." That's what the voice said. "Read the Bible." I had both joy and fear at the same time. Fear because someone great was there. I could feel their presence. And it was like the presence filled the whole room. Now this voice was both audible and within inside of me. And it was almost like a mist that moved through the room and then it was gone. "Read the Bible." I began to read the Bible. And so God wants to speak to you. I believe it. And I believe God speaks today. And we'll look at that. But what about you? Do you long to know God? Are you just happy with, you know, drive-by church as a Christian? I come in and then I drive by and that's it. That's my spiritual life. Let me tell you, you'll be very bored and frustrated and you'll leave the church. Because you really didn't encounter God. And we see that here in our text. Samuel knew about God, right? But he had not yet heard his voice. He knew the written word. But he had not yet met the living word. Do you long to know God? How does your schedule or activities reveal that desire? Is it, I plan in everything and then, oh yeah, I got to fit in church. God's not interested in that and he's not fooled by that. He's wondering, do you want me? Do you want me in all areas of your life? When I look back to the numerous times that God has spoken to me, with a few exceptions because God can do what he wants, I was seeking him either through prayer or reading his reading his word, the Bible. As verse 2 states, Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Just as it's better to fly a kite or go out with a sailboat to the ocean when the wind is likely to blow, we are most likely to hear from God when we are in His presence. God desires to speak to you today. And I want to talk about that because I know some of us really wrestle with that. We wrestle with that because, well, we don't think the Bible says that. Or, you know, well, yeah, Samuel, sure, he spoke to Samuel because, you know, Samuel was an Old Testament prophet and God speaks to prophets, but he doesn't speak anymore. Or we go, well, how do we know? Because there's a lot of insane people, Christians, who are saying all kinds of things that don't come true. So we're very nervous about this. But I want to tell you that God speaks today and He speaks to those who seek Him. Jesus said these words in John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak what He hears, and He will declare to you what is to come. Now, who was that written to? Well, we could say, well, you know, that's all about the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was speaking that to the disciples, you know, the 12, and therefore, you know, that's only for the 12. God does not speak today. Well, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think this text is limited to just them when the rest of the teachings around there we think are for today, for every disciple? I mean, if somehow we have to take this text out and say that's really not for all disciples, why are we not doing that with the surrounding texts? And yet, we see from reading of the Bible that Jesus' teaching in John 16:13 is really for all believers. This text about the Holy Spirit speaking to all believers beyond the 12 is borne out in history. Consider this. Acts 2:4. We read that on Pentecost Sunday, there were believers beyond the 12. In Acts 1, we're told there was 120 believers who were gathering for a prayer meeting. And it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. It was just more than the original 12. And it says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. Acts 2:4. Everyone present was filled. Consider what it says in Acts 2:17-18 on the screen. And it says there, in the last days, God says, this is what God speaks, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Last days. And further, consider this, some years later, Acts chapter 9, that he spoke to Saul, who was not one of the original disciples. And in Acts chapter 9, we read that he also spoke to Ananias, who was not one of the original 12 and was not living in Jerusalem. And he spoke to Paul and he said, why do you persecute me? And then he called him into a mission. And then he told Ananias, you know, listen, I've just spoken to Paul. You're to meet him. This is where he is. God gives him the street that he's going to be. I want you to go there and I want you to pray for him and heal him. I've chosen him. And it's an interesting conversation. Read it sometime. Acts chapter 9. Ananias, you know, rebuttals against the Lord and the Lord talks back to him. And what about Acts chapter 13? It lists there that the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to Barnabas, not original 12, Simeon, not original 12, Manaen, not original 12, and Paul. And these were the people who heard from the Holy Spirit as Paul and Barnabas were sent among to do the work of preaching the gospel to the nation so we could hear the gospel today. Also consider the story through the ages of saints who've acted on God's voice. They've acted on His impressions and His visions and have followed Him against all odds to give up safety and security for His glory. Everyday saints who were obeying God. They were absolutely sure it was the voice of God, and they were willing to give up their lives for that. Now, what do you think? Do you think it is reasonable to conclude that the Holy Spirit's ability to communicate Jesus' message has an expiry date? Do you think the message of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will speak to the disciples has an expiry date? I don't think so. So how do we hear God? How do we hear God? Well, learning to hear God's voice requires time. And that's a big challenge for us. If we do not prioritize time with God, we're unlikely to hear him. And we're unlikely then to experience the blessings of all that God has for us in the with God life. Busyness, my friends, is the enemy of the spiritual life. See, there's a thing about being working, and that's all important. God is not against that. But busyness, keeping myself so preoccupied, busy, 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 busy all the time, that I can't even stop. That is the enemy of the spiritual life. And if we have the desire, we will make time to meet with God. There's no formula to hearing from God, but let me just share a few principles that have worked for me and in talking with others have worked for them. Let me encourage you to set aside some time and to set aside a place, a quiet place. It may be a room in your house. It may be in a park. What I would encourage you to do is set aside 20 to 30 minutes. 20 to 30 minutes. Oh my gosh. 20 to 30 minutes. Listen, you spend that much time watching, you know, movie previews, okay, before you watch a single movie. 20 to 30 minutes. It's commercials. Find a quiet place in your home or in the park. First thing I do to prepare my mind to listen to God, and this is the hardest part, is slowing down my mind so that I'm able to hear God. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll go for a walk in my neighborhood. I'll go for a walk and let all the thoughts in my head go out, and I'll have my phone with me, and as I'm going about, and I'll say, oh, don't forget to contact this person. It's amazing how many thoughts come to my mind while I'm trying to, you know, start a relationship conversation with God. So I note them down in my phone. You know, I have this particular app and I wrote down the to-do things or the reminders. I write all of them down. That's fine. Get them all out. If you're at home and you go, I don't do that on a phone, get a pad of paper and write it down. Call Aunt Mary, you know, buy this, stop for that, whatever it is. Get all of this stuff out of your mind. And I know it's challenging for some of us to sit and listen to someone who's actually there. Our partner will attest to that. So much harder if we can't see that other person. For others of us, really hard to shut off our minds. So what do we do? Right? So you can go for a walk, right? You can, I even walk in the room sometimes, in the room that I often pray in. I often just walk around there until, because, you know, I'm one of those people, you know, who can be easily distracted. So I have to walk in circles and circles, you know, calming myself down. And sometimes I, while I'm doing that, I begin to praise God. Say, God, I thank you for whatever comes to my mind. Sometimes I confess known sins that pop up. And so I begin clearing my mind. I turn off the phone. I don't answer any phone calls. That's okay. 99.99999 times, it's not going to be an emergency. If you have to take a phone call, it's okay. Keep it short. Other times, I will, as I walk around the room, I'll make sure that the RPMs of my mind are slowly coming down, and then I will turn to a passage of Scripture. Now, on this point, I want to encourage you to choose a passage of Scripture that is easy to read and not long, and, for example, doesn't have a list of names, you know what I'm saying, that are hard to pronounce. I suggest nothing more than 10 verses, something from the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Gospels, but avoid challenging doctrinal passages. We are not there to do a major theological study. The goal is to immerse yourself slowly in that Scripture, enjoying it, meditating on it. You know, and meditating is, you know, when we think of meditating, I think of, you know, like a cow, you know, chewing on grass, right? Slowly, slowly eating it. Slowly getting it out, right? And that's like meditating, just slowly immersing in the Word, right? So you can pray and say, Lord, as I go into reading this Word, I look forward to you speaking to me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And then I set out to read the passage, and I read the passage once, and then I read it again at a slower speed, and then I read it a third time, right? And I look for a word or phrase or verse that catches my attention. Is God bringing some situation or person to my mind from that reading? Is there something God wants me to believe or as a result do? Maybe he wants me to change my mind about my beliefs on a given subject. This morning, I was doing this with Psalm 62. Make this part of your spiritual growth. You might say, well, I can't do this every day. I'm so busy, Steve. You know, maybe I can just do this once in a while. Okay, let's start there. But as you do this process, God will speak to you. Let me give you a really interesting example. Some years ago, this would have been 2011. It was in April of 2011, somewhere around there, March, April. And I was reading through Psalm 65, and I just read it once, and this, I noticed, you know, the word endurance showed up a couple of times, and I this is really the Holy Spirit leading me in this, because God wanted to give me a message. And I just, I would never think to say this, to be honest with you, but I just said, did I say the word was endurance? It wasn't endurance. It was, what did I say the word was? I said endurance? That wasn't the word. The word, I'm trying to think of what the word is. It's in there. It begins with E. Just skip my mind. And I didn't put it in my notes. But the word was about, you know, that God was is about blessing, that God blesses the earth. It'll come to my mind shortly. And that word showed up a couple of times. I noticed that. And so I just said, and how are you going to do that in my life? I think the word was something like enriches or something like that. He enriches the earth or something. Is that it? Okay, something like that. I remember it began with E. And so I just said, how are you going to do that in my life? And this is exactly what God said to me. I am your father, I will provide for you. He said that out loud. I am your father, I will provide for you. I knew that was God's voice. If you've heard God's voice, you know it's God's voice, right? And so I said, oh, okay. And I headed off to Starbucks. It's my day off, but I was doing a funeral at Peace Portal Alliance for somebody who was at Surrey Alliance. They were in really good health. And just one year, you know, they said to me, hey, Steve, when I die, you're going to do my funeral and you're going to know what to say. It's like weird. They were in really good health. You know, some years had gone by and they died. And their children showed up on a Tuesday and said, our mom said in her like will and stuff, you were supposed to do the funeral. Can you do it? When is it? It's on Friday. I said, oh. I said, then I remembered what she said. You'll remember what to say. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I was headed off, and just as I got in to open the door, Pastor Phil, are you here, Pastor Phil? He can verify this. He called me, and he said, hey, Steve, do you want to, can we talk? And I said, can we meet? And I said, no, it's not a good day to meet. I've got to do this funeral, then I got something else up and something else. Can we meet tomorrow? And I said, no, we can't meet tomorrow. I'm very busy. What is it? He goes, I don't really want to say this to you on the phone, Steve. I said, oh, okay. What is it? He goes, I wish I could really see you in person. Are you sure? And I said, no, I don't think there's time to meet, Phil. You might as well tell me. He goes, Steve, I don't really want to say this to you because I think if I tell you this, you're going to leave the church. I said, okay, what is it? He said, Steve, you know, since we've merged from a couple of campuses, we've had to cut down staff. And what I want to tell you is that we have to cut your position down to 22 hours. Right away, Phil remembers that conversation. Maybe he can verify this. I said, now I know why the Lord said, I'm your father. I will provide for you. Is that pretty accurate, Phil? Yeah. And then, so, you know, a couple of the elders sent me emails and stuff and said, hey, Steve, you know, how you doing? I heard now that you've heard this news. And I felt really good about it at that point. I said, God's going to provide. Do you know, since then, I've made more money than I would ever made here at the church. I'm honest. I'm being absolutely honest. I have T4s that'll prove that because the Lord provided other work. I love ministering here, but that's a reality, right? Right? Be patient. It took Samuel 3 times to figure out who and how God was speaking to him beyond the written word. How will we know it's not the Lord and us? God will say things you would not say. God's voice is gentle, it's confident, it's reassuring, even when the Lord is correcting us. And there have been times that the Lord has corrected me more than once. And I shared one of those last week, right? Where I was praying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, that pastor isn't doing this, what about this? And the Lord said, that's a lot of eyes I hear. And that was done with gentleness, but I knew it was the Lord. Once you have heard his voice, you'll recognize it the next time. Now, I want to give a couple of warnings. If you're about to make an important decision, you know, job transfer, moving, marriage, all of that thing, make sure that you verify what you heard with other saints. Anytime the Lord has asked me to go to another job or to do something, I always check with other people, right? And of course, we're commanded in Scripture to test the things that we hear. Most often, God will impress things on your mind, as he did with me in Psalm 62 this morning. Impressions are not audible. It's not an audible voice. It's just that you know that perhaps, you begin with, perhaps, is God saying this to me? Is he trying to teach me something here? Is he speaking to some point in my life? Why is that scripture hitting me like that? Other times, it'll actually be words. And twice, I've had visions. In one of those visions, I was in Florida and I was on vacation. I didn't think it was fair for God to bring me a vision at that time. But you know what? I phoned the person that he gave me the vision about, and I phoned them. And I said, God gave me a vision about you today. I think you really need to reconsider. And they came back to me and they said, you're right. And they repented of their actions and their marriage was saved. After I began my first pastoral position in Vancouver at 10th Avenue Alliance, I had a thought and an impression, it wasn't a voice, that maybe I should move to Surrey to do a ministry among Indo-Canadians. So, you know, I thought about it. I went home and it was a thought that kind of stayed with me, you know, and so I did that, you know, pro, con list, should I move, should I not move, that kind of list. And then I talked with my wife, and she was willing to go with me. She was in favor. And then I had a regular meeting with this fellow, his title was district superintendent, and he was kind of like a bishop over the Alliance pastors in British Columbia. And I had a regular meeting with him, and I went to see him. And we're just going to have coffee, just want to check how I was doing. I was new in ministry and so forth. And he said this to me, have you ever thought of moving to Surrey to do ministry among Indo-Canadians? He popped this up. I looked at him, I said, why did you ask that? He goes, I don't know. I said, had you planned to ask that? And he goes, no, it just came up. He didn't say, oh, this is a word from the Lord or anything. He just said, no, I just asked. I said, then I told him the process that I had been going through. So what he did was he contacted the pastor of the Surrey Alliance Church, Roland Heppner. And he said, I'll check with him and see, you know, if this is a possibility. I don't know. Within a week, Roland Heppner wanted to get together with me. We met with the district superintendent, Roland Heppner, and myself. And Roland says this to me. I don't know him very well. And he said to me, Steve, I can show you that this is our intent. I believe God is moving here. I said, how do you know? Because, you know, I want to make sure. I don't want to make a move and so forth. And he said, well, we had our annual meeting in February, so this is happening in the spring of 1994. And he said, we had our annual meeting in February, and on it, I got my first applause at an annual, you know how exciting annual church meetings are, right? And he said, we got our first applause, because in there, we put in a note that we'd like to hire someone who's Indo-Canadian to begin a ministry among Indo-Canadians. And I don't know who that person is. I don't know, like that, The church wanted to do that, and I went along, and I believe God is speaking. I thought that, you know, this is, I thought, I don't know, my home church doesn't want me to probably do this, because they love me a lot, right? Well, I found out something different. They said, be on your way. They said, we love you, but we really believe this is God calling you. And there I went to start a church. And it was a great ministry. I encourage you, if you don't hear the Lord's voice the first time, to persist in it. Don't beat yourself up if something doesn't happen. Commit to the process. And of course, I'm available to help you in it. Now, verse 19, I want to talk about something because there's a test of a reliability there. Everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. Verse 20, there's eyewitness evidence. And all Israel knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Often we'll have people in a Christian community say God spoke to them. Don't accept that as gospel truth. We must always test these things. God never speaks anything that contradicts his word. So if they say that, you know, what God says now, this is okay to do, but you know the scripture says no, you know that that is absolutely wrong. God never contradicts himself. In 1 John 4:1, because God was speaking after Jesus had gone, it says this, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have come from is from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Right? And I've had that numerous times. I remember it was either the late 80s or early 90s, sometime around that time. A well-known pastor, some of you know him, took a full-page ad out. Because there was, I think we were going to have our first pride parade or something in Vancouver. And he said that, you know, God is going to cause an earthquake to happen in Vancouver. Because of that, his judgment will fall. There was some gathering at BC Place to do, you know, with the homosexual community. And that's what he said. He's a well-known pastor, well-loved, and he said that. And a real estate agent went on television who lived in West Van, said, I'm selling my house because of this, and I'm moving up to the interior. And I got an email from somebody who said, let me give you a clue. Fill up your house, your tub in Vancouver with water, because, you know, only Abbotsford is going to be safe. And seriously. And you know what? I prayed about that. I want to know if that was from God. I had no peace it was from God. I talked to people in my church, and I said, we need to pray about this, right? And we prayed, and they said, no, this is not God, because he would tell us. He wouldn't leave some of us out. And our church was actually really disappointed that the pastor went and took out a full-page ad. Guess what happened? And I was trying to witness to a guy, BC Tail, now called Telus, who was a homosexual at work. I was trying to tell him, this is not God. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. It's different than the plan you have. And then he's hearing all of this all over the news. And I was very disappointed. Well, BCTV, you know, Global, whoever they are now, had cameras fixed right on English Bay. And there was a time given, and nothing happened. Right? They were blaspheming the name of God, just like in the story we read. And so be careful. I had a woman once say to me, her name was Jean. People called her a prophet. Be very leery of anybody who calls himself a prophet. When I came to Grace Point, there was two people who walked around here told me they were a prophet. I said, if you were a prophet, you wouldn't do that. And I said, what are your prophecies? Give them to me. One of them left the church soon afterwards. They don't put up with that kind of garbage. We want to see and we want to test it. This woman said her name was Jean. And as I was talking to her, she said, your wife is pregnant. God knows that you love him with the love of David. And I thought, wow, she's really onto something. Because I just told the Lord that this morning in my prayer. I love you with the love of David. Guess what wound up happening? Then she says, you're going to have a girl in November. I said, oh boy, we're in trouble. Because our child isn't due until January 17th. He eventually came in February. But I ran into her in a Christian bookstore. A couple of years later, and I said, Jean, I want to talk to you. I said, you say you speak for God. Yes, I do. I said, well, and I care-fronted her. Then she said, I'm so sorry. Sometimes I make up my own stuff. I said, wow. See, God wants to speak to us. He desires an intimate relationship with us. And I'm thankful to the many times that God has spoken to me audibly with impressions and through visions. Hearing the voice of God has enriched my spiritual life. And I know that God is there, and it's not just a conceptual, philosophical kind of Christianity. At one time, Samuel only knew the written word of God, as our text says, but not the living word. Hearing God's voice increased his intimacy with God. May that be true of us. May we know the written word of God, and may we hear the living word of God. There's nothing more to add to God's word that is in the Bible. That is the word forever. But God has messages for us. Wonderful things to say to us. So can I give you an exercise? Homework, summer school. Can I challenge you to read Psalm 23? There are only 6 verses there. Can I encourage you to do that this week, to take time to calm your mind, to read it, and then write me, steve@gracepoint.ca. I won't respond for 2 weeks because I'll be away. Greg says I'm speaking way too long. I was done 10 minutes ago. So I won't be back next week, I guess. But he's holding up the stop sign now. But tell me what God impresses on your heart, on what you hear. We want to be a dynamic living community in relationship with God. You will save yourself lots of pain if you get wisdom from God on what to do and from others. Obey what he says. Perhaps it's a challenge to trust him more or to change your thinking or behavior. Can you imagine hearing from the Lord? Can you imagine how your faith would be encouraged and your overall life impacted? Can you imagine the enthusiasm you would have to share your living faith? Can you imagine the conversations you and I would be having over the summer as we begin the process of listening to God? Can you imagine? The Lord is speaking. Are you prepared to listen? Are you prepared to listen? Let's pray. Father, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. You are alive, and you have never said that you will ever stop speaking. Thank you that you speak to us. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen.